Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Swales. I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine Magazine. Today, we're speaking with Dennis Ernst. He's the executive director at the Center for Phlebotomy Education in Indiana, and he's going to talk a little bit with us today about decentralizing phlebotomy. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Kelly. Yeah, and thanks. You know, this is a great topic and one I'm really happy to be able to speak on because, you know, decentralized phlebotomy is one of those things that just keeps coming around, doesn't it? You know, what really amazes me is that after 20-plus years of experimenting with this decentralized staffing concept, the jury's still out on whether or not it's a good idea and whether or not it holds future in healthcare and whether or not it's good for the patient. What is certain, though, is that now we have a lot of published data that really sheds light on the validity and the viability of decentralized phlebotomy. Historically, let's put this in perspective. The whole promise of decentralization has always been that of a more flexible and efficient staff, which translates into lower operating expenses, well, at least on paper. You know, and when chief financial officers and human resource managers started realizing back in the mid-90s that phlebotomists performed only one skill and they filled their time in between their draws with menial tasks that other laboratory personnel might be able to perform, then it made perfect sense to relocate them to perform more bedside tasks, relieving the overburdened nursing staff. And so the cost savings of eliminating phlebotomy positions was too good to pass up. And that's when we started seeing facilities experimenting with handing phlebotomy responsibilities from the laboratory-based phlebotomist to the non-laboratory-based healthcare professional in a variety of disciplines, nurses, medical assistants, certified nursing assistants. So, you know, unfortunately, the promise for most facilities who have tried this staffing model, it never really translated from paper to reality. For most facilities that have decentralized since this trend began, the promise of a massive cost savings from the elimination of these phlebotomy positions came at the expense of employee morale, also high turnover rates of disenchanted staff, more accidental needle sticks, poor sample quality, sample rejection rates skyrocketed, as well as did blood culture contamination. And overall, the risks of implementing more than exceeded the reward, and the costs far outweighed the benefits. So let's look at some of the stats, some of the data that has been published on how this strategy is playing out in facilities nationwide and really worldwide. Here in the U.S., there was a comprehensive study done on the cost to facilities to decentralize, and it found that the average 400-bed hospital, the decentralizing trend showed that sample collection errors were costing hospitals about $200,000 a year. But, you know, it's more than just the measurable sample collection errors. It's the intangible costs of a decentralized experiment that really erodes the gains. When you get hemolysis rates going up and contaminated blood cultures, see, these are easily monitored and calculated. And we can get the cost of facilities when these rates go up because of unskilled personnel. But it's the greater impact of delayed test results that are inherent with this staffing strategy. And these can't be measured in dollars. So the costs of postponed or inaccurate diagnoses, the cost of delayed treatment, cost of patient mismanagement, and let's not forget physician frustration, all of these things factor into the cost to the facility, but they're incalculable, really. Although I do know one laboratory manager reported that test results took 2 hours longer after his facility transitioned to a decentralized staffing arrangement. You know, I'm delving in this material quite frequently and always keeping my finger on the pulse, so to speak, and I know that there are very few studies that support decentralized phlebotomy in terms of improved patient care, better sample quality, greater staff efficiency, faster turnaround times, or any of the other laboratory quality metrics. There's lots of published reports compare the performance of key quality indicators in a centralized versus a decentralized setting, and they all exclusively paint a really poor prognosis for those who hand phlebotomy procedures to non-laboratory personnel. you know, sample rejection rates triple, hemolysis rates increase by almost 800% if you looked at all the studies and averaged them out. And the increase in the frequency of mislabeled samples goes up tenfold. So the ultimate question I'm asked is, can you have quality samples and decentralized phlebotomy at the same time? And the answer is, most facilities that try it cannot maintain sample quality. Now, can it work? Yes, absolutely. Decentralized phlebotomy can work. 9 times out of 10, it fails. And here's why. When you deploy phlebotomy services to non-laboratory personnel, the complexity of managing non-laboratory personnel in this particular skill goes through the roof. And the problem is, it takes more than one person to implement a successful transition to a decentralized setting. You've got all of these other healthcare workers that are drawing blood samples. How do you train them properly? How do you get them to understand the importance of the procedure on the outcome? How do you assess their competencies annually? It's just a huge, huge paradigm shift in how you manage blood specimen collection facility-wide when you deploy it outside the laboratory. You know, probably the most commonly measured quality indicator that a laboratory has is the frequency of blood culture contamination. And I can tell you that the results of 6 published studies are indisputable, and they all lead to this same conclusion. Blood cultures drawn by non-laboratory personnel are up to 7 times more likely to be contaminated than those samples that are drawn by phlebotomists in a centralized setting. So even if transitioning from a centralized to a decentralized blood collection results in, say, a 1 percentage point increase instead of 7, here's the thing. If a facility is drawing 500 blood cultures per month, it's going to incur $15,000 on average in additional laboratory and pharmacy costs because of that 1 percentage point increase. Keep in mind, most facilities experience a 7 percentage point increase in blood cultures contamination. So it's not just what goes into the $15,000, but on average, a false positive blood culture is going to extend a patient's hospital stay up to an additional 3.3 days by some studies. We even see, when was it, 2011, I believe, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they looked at hundreds of published studies and authoritative documents in a quest to establish solid recommendations for best practices. And I was honored to be a member of this evidence review panel. And we did come up with 2 best practices. All the literature on blood culture collection led us to recommend that the use of a dedicated phlebotomy team, people specifically trained to perform blood cultures, was a best practice rather than using a multi-skilled workforce. So in today's healthcare environment, we have to ask our question always, don't we? Cost versus care. And when we're looking at costs, especially today, no stone gets unturned when it comes to cutting costs. So it's inevitable that agencies that are charged with delivering quality healthcare more affordably have to consider every option. But when the option is to dissolve phlebotomy positions in favor of a multi-skilled workforce, then the true cost is often obscured by hopeful data. And often ignored are studies like the one at Emory Healthcare in Atlanta, Georgia. The administrators there saved $400,000 a year by re-centralizing phlebotomy services back to the laboratory after having decentralized. And they also enjoyed a good increase in patient satisfaction. And they're not the only ones. Another hospital in Illinois realized about almost a $300,000 revenue swing when they reclaimed phlebotomy for the laboratory. Also, there's another published study that a facility found that by using non-laboratory personnel to collect blood cultures in the emergency department alone instead of phlebotomists, they estimated that it cost the facility in excess of $4.1 million per year in the form of extra patient charges. So, where are we today? You know, I'm looking at here as an industry observer, and I see that after 2 decades or more of disappointing statistics, healthcare facilities around the world are still experimenting with decentralized phlebotomies. So the push is still strong. You know, we did a survey back in 2009 asking our newsletter subscribers if phlebotomy is centralized or decentralized where they work. And 61% of those who responded said that specimen collection is centralized, whereas 39% of those who responded reported that they're working in a decentralized system. So it's still being tested, tried, perfected. I do see the pendulum swinging back towards re-centralizing, and it's been that way for 6-8 years. I don't think it's going to go away. As cost containment continues to be an issue, people are always going to underestimate the value of a skilled specimen collection staff. That's always going to be the case, unfortunately. And this experiment will fail in most facilities that attempt it. It's just that phlebotomy is both art and science. And too many people underestimate the procedure and don't realize that the process most certainly does affect the outcome. So I think a healthy respect for the complexities of drawing a blood sample is necessary if decentralized phlebotomy is going to work. And that healthy respect has to come with comprehensive training for those new to the procedure that don't work in the laboratory. Constant discipline measures have to be taken for deviations from the standards, and constant continuing education is the only way that a decentralized system will succeed in any facility. But boy, I got to tell you, the people I talk to, they all, after a certain number of years, throw their hands up thinking, this is more trouble than it's worth. That's how I feel about it. Let's just leave phlebotomy in the hands of those who are trained to perform the procedure and work at efficiencies in other areas, because once we start decentralizing, we're opening up ourselves to an entire realm of errors that we never saw before, and the costs just continue to skyrocket. We have to look at the big picture. So has decentralized phlebotomy run its course? Well, probably not in the U.S., and probably not around the world, because I'm constantly asked by other countries to weigh in on the merits of decentralizing phlebotomy. In fact, I'll be traveling to Norway next year to speak to their Association of Biomedical Engineers about decentralized phlebotomy, since that country is considering going in that direction too. So the experiment is still unfolding. It doesn't hold much promise, though, but everybody is doing their best to try to make healthcare more efficient, and I understand that. But as long as facilities tinker with decentralizing phlebotomy, there's always going to be frustrations.